I'm Morgan Springer from Next and the New England News Collaborative. Our final guest today is Shardae M. Davis. She's a communications professor at the University of Connecticut. She's also the co-founder of the Twitter hashtag Black in the Ivory. The hashtag was created a little over a week ago and has taken off, amplifying the voices of Black scholars at universities across the country who have been dealing with racism on the job. Professor Davis, thank you for talking.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I've given a kind of brief description of the hashtag Black in the Ivory, but can you tell us more about it and what motivated you and co-founder Joy Melody Woods to start this hashtag?
Absolutely. The hashtag was not created with this movement in mind. The origin really is I was sitting on my couch and was on Twitter and was really just thinking about my own experiences of racism in the academy. So I thought of, you know, I wanted to share my own stories on Twitter and went to sleep. And the next morning, it had grown legs.
Yeah. Why do you think it just like took off so quickly?
I think because for so long, you know, Black academics, we've never been able to share our stories. The Ivory Towers is really shrouded. The quote-unquote regular Joe Schmo, you know, the lay American doesn't really know what happens in academia, doesn't really know much about a PhD program or even some of our professional doctorate programs, doesn't really know what it means to be a faculty person. And so I think because of that, there are aspects of academic life, of moving through the ranks, being in graduate school that go, you know, people turn a blind eye to it. And those who are going through it, you're just happy you made it, you know? So, and it's just, it's difficult to kind of talk back and fight against. You try, there are repercussions and you get muzzled. So I think this opened a door and it just was the right time, honestly. It was just the right time, the right platform, the right moment.
And so, as you mentioned, you began the hashtag by sharing your own experiences. And I'm wondering if you're willing and comfortable to talk a little bit about what you shared.
Sure. Are many, and a lot of, I think the really traumatic ones have absolutely been suppressed and not even on a conscious level, but a subconscious level. But for example, being heavily criticized for my writing, but faculty or professors not really offering any guidance beyond that. Whereas my other white colleagues, I mean, any graduate student, their writing is not good. It's just the facts. But for some reason, you know, my work was more heavily critiqued than others. Being told that I wasn't going to make it, oh gosh, I have many, many instances of that I didn't have what it took to be in an R1, that I should, an R1 meaning a research institution, which is the highest kind of level in the hierarchy for universities, that I didn't have what it takes. Being told that I was really aggressive and defensive during my dissertation defense, it's a defense, right? So when someone critiques it, you know that you have a retort, you're going to share it. But for some reason, because it came out of my body, it became an issue. And that was, I think, a stereotype that a lot of people held me to during that part of my graduate career. There were many of my, again, white graduate colleagues who were, I mean, borderline disrespectful, but they never got critiqued or reprimanded or talked about in the same way I did.
One of the themes in the threads is Black academics and scholars talking about really not sharing these experiences for so long for fear of repercussions, like not getting tenure or not getting to that next step. And I wonder, what kind of support have you received in the past few weeks as you've just, you know, put it all out there on Twitter?
I mean, praise God, I've received nothing but support, really, from Black academics, from my dean, my chair, my other colleagues, all of whom are white. The president of UConn reached out just to give me kudos on the work that's being done. So yeah, the list is long, and I'm really thankful and fortunate that they recognize that I'm doing this as a way of standing on the side of right. And I'm glad that they see that.
Is there any part of you that feels like there's this moment now, and perhaps white colleagues are paying more attention But does it feel frustrating because it's taken so long? Does it feel like a particular opportunity for change? Maybe it feels like both things.
Yes, certainly. Certainly there are moments where I'm like, I've been saying this, you know, since I'm blue in the face and was dismissed, trying to explain racism and for me, gendered racism, not only as a Black person, but also as a woman. They critically intersect. And, you know, white academics thinking that I just want extra attention or I'm trying to be negative or I'm playing the victim. So in a way, I'm happy that they get it now. And all I can do is really kind of move forward. But there are moments where it does get frustrating. And I have taken the time to have one-on-one conversations with people to say, I'm glad you get it now, but you were at the center of some of those stories. Some of those messages came out of your mouth, and I need you to recognize that and acknowledge that and atone for that.
Yeah, you've given this space for Black colleagues and scholars to share their stories. And then there are also a number of threads that kind of address what you're just talking about right now that speak directly to what white colleagues could and should do to be more inclusive and anti-racist. What are some of the main points that you think rise to the top?
Action. Action. We want change. And that is not just Black academics. That's really Black folks around this nation and allies who have also been doing this work for a long time. Action and change. Be about it. We are done with the dialogue.
Yeah. And in terms of systemic change within academic organizations, has this spurred any talk about institutional changes in colleges and universities? And what would you like to see?
It has spurred some conversations. But again, we don't just want conversation. And the change, what does that mean? That means that folks are looking at their policies from the top down. Historically, how many graduate students of color have they admitted? That can also go to the Office for Research, where they're giving out grants. What kind of grant proposals? What is the rubric that they're using? And also thinking about hiring practices for faculty. So those are just some examples, but they need to be codified in policy, process, and procedure.
Do you want to share any advice to Black students as they consider or prepare to enter academia?
My advice would be to make sure that you have a strong support network, family and friends back at home, perhaps people from your place of worship, and make sure that you build a strong network with other Black students on campus who understand what it means to walk in this body around that campus. And then finally, have a mentor and honestly find a mentor on that campus who looks like you.
Professor Davis, thank you so much for talking to me.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Listen to Next on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.